Okay, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Well, hello. This is Jeff Gaudiosi, and you are on misplacedstraws.com, where music comes to life. And there are some songs that just transcend the genre or even the band or the era it was recorded in, and those songs just become part of culture decades after they came out. Eye of the Tiger is one of those songs, and the legendary voice behind that song is Dave Bickler, who just released his very first solo record, Dark Light, and he joins me today to talk about all of it. So first of all, welcome, Dave, and congratulations on a really great record. I love Dark Light.
Oh, thank you, John. Yeah. I really appreciate that. I really do. It's a very not kind of you to say so. I'm real happy that I've got my solo record out, and I'm very pleased about it.
Well, I mean, you know, you've been in the business for almost 40 years now, probably over 40 years.
Ouch.
How is this your first solo record?
Well, a lot of the time I was doing stuff, you know. I recorded a lot of stuff. I did a lot of demos. Mm-hmm. I was in bands that, you know, for one reason or another, we, you know, it didn't get in the public sphere, you know, but I finally decided, I know, after all this time, that because I had a lot of songs, and, mm-hmm. and my wife actually said, why don't you, you know, you should get serious and do this. So I did. So I finally, you know, got to work to figure out how I'd make it, you know, and put it together. And here we are.
And it's just a really great guitar-driven rock and roll record, which you don't get much of these days. You know, what were you listening to as you were writing these songs? What were your influences behind them?
Boy, I am such a guitar-driven person that it makes perfect sense to me, because I still carry that indelible impression I got when I saw the Beatles when I was just a kid, you know, of how cool it was. You know, and it's not just the way it looked; it's how the guitar sounds. And it, you know, it's a compact instrument you can take anywhere you go, and it's almost unlimited possibilities of getting sound out of a guitar. You know, you can always find something new on there. So, I mean, that as far as songwriting, you know, most of it was guitar driven as far as writing goes. In some cases, there was you know, a piano mm-hmm. as well, but mostly guitars.
Were these songs that you had for a while, or stuff that you wrote specifically for this?
Some were songs that I had for a while, and some were very new, you know, written in the process of making the record. So it's all the above.
And for the record, you assembled kind of an all-star band of sorts, with Ryan Hoyle from Collective Soul and Brad
yeah.
Smith from Blind Melon and Steve Diakoudis, who's played guitar and produced everybody over the years.
Yeah,
what did their experience bring?
Yeah, no, it was great. Well, the first thing is that, you know, I wanted to work with people that were, you know, just wanted to make music and no other agenda, you know, and so that was one of my first criteria besides the talent of being talented, you know. And I found Ryan Hoyle because my friend at Sony, Jeremy Holiday, you know, I said I've got to start with a drummer and get some drum tracks on this stuff. And so he recommended Ryan Hoyle, and I looked it up and saw he had this drum studio, and, you know, he's got all these beautiful drum sets, you know, like 25 to die for drum sets. and it's really cool, too, because, you know, he can set up a kit for you. And, you know, if you want to change the snare or change the toms or change the bass, you can do all that real quickly. And, you know, he's set to go to record drums, which, you know, that's always was always traditionally the part with a band. You'd go into the studio and lock out the studio for a couple of weeks to get those mm-hmm. those drum tracks, you know. But that's a very highly expensive proposition. So it was really great working with him. I learned a lot about drums, too, and the care and feeding of and recording them, and, you know, because it's a difficult thing to record. It's a big acoustic instrument, so it takes a lot of equipment and skill to do it. So I had a ball there. And Brad Smith was, you know, somebody that he worked with all the time, and he just said, try Brad's. And everybody says they're happy with his stuff. And I love Blind Melon, so I was like, gee, I was pretty impressed that I got those guys. You know?
Exactly. I mean, two great bands. And, you know,
yeah, two great
really
bands.
Well. Yeah.
Right. Right. So I was really stoked about it. And, you know, the results speak for themselves. Those guys, you know, they were so great to work with, too, because, you know, like Brad, he would listen to my bass parts that I put on, and he would just take the essence of that and make it better. You know, I mean, that's what he would do for me, you know, because he's a producer as well and all of that stuff. So, and then Stephen Diakoudis, you know, when I finally located, you know, I was looking for some place to mix, really is what I was thinking. And when we got together, we just started doing everything over, you know, and playing all these great guitar parts and, you know, adding all this cool stuff, you know, other sounds. And, you know, he's got all that stuff at his fingertips, and we sang all the vocals again. It was really fun working with him. I'd been singing the vocals at home by myself, and then I realized, you know, how great it is to have somebody behind the glass, you know, working with you and you know, putting you in the position to, yeah, let's try this again, let's try this bit again here. You know, it all becomes another process, and it was really great.
Yeah, and it sounds like a band, you know. I mean, it comes together, and you can really tell that everyone who was into what they were playing, you know, really comes across in the final product, which, again, is something that you really don't hear anymore. A lot of times it's, you know, individual tracks kind of put together. This really sounds like the band.
Boy, I'm glad to hear you say that, because I agree with you, but I worked hard to make sure of that. I mean, I really was cognizant that I wanted it to sound like a band, you know, and yeah, I think it does sound like that. I mean, it does sound like it holds together and it's cohesive, even though parts were, you know, and again, bands in the studio that, you know, that they were a set up band, they would overdub a lot of that stuff too, but it would preserve that band feel as well in the same way. So I'm fortunate that it turned out, you know, the way it did, and does sound like it was, you know, played together.
And last month in March, I did a few shows in England that, you know, from Darklight come across on stage. And were these guys your band, or are you using different musicians?
You cut out for just a second, but I assume you're talking about over in the UK.
Yep.
When I played.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they were, that was a band that, you know, somebody helped me put those guys together, all very seasoned pro, you know, touring guys, players, and you know, recording guys and all of that. And they were just fantastic to work with, you know. And they really liked the original material, too. So we played obviously some Survivor stuff, but I'm trying to introduce the songs as we go along, Hope and Always You, we did on stage.
Yep.
During that tour.
And what track, if you had to pick one track from Darklight that really meant the most to you to get done and get out there, what song would it be?
Oh, man. All of them.
You can tell.
I like each one that came along, that's exactly how I felt. So let's get this right, you know. You know, just, you know, trying to preserve the vision that I had. I know, I don't know if that sounds corny or not, but I had an idea in my head, which is another reason why I think this all took me a long time to do, was I'd done many recordings, but I wasn't always very happy with the end results, you know. But the people that I worked with to do Darklight, I was real happy, and it was a pretty joyous experience all the way around.
Well, and now let's go back in time a bit through your career. You were brought into what would become Survivor initially through a relationship you had with Jim. What do you remember about that early period, the Survivor and Premonition records? Did you guys feel like it was leading to something big?
Yeah, we definitely felt like, you know, I mean, it was, you know, obviously playing, you know, this is an all original thing. Our intent was to get signed and make a record. And we felt that we had, you know, what it took to do that. And, you know, it was a bit rocky in the beginning. You know, the first record, we were in the studio with Ron Nevison, and I was pretty, you know, Ron Nevison at the record plant in Los Angeles, you know, was like, wow.
A little daunting for your first record.
It was like, wow, you know. But, it, you know, Ron got fired. He was mixing the album, and he got fired. And it was, you know, Bruce Fairbairn finished the album up in the group. And it didn't, that felt a little unsettling, you know, the way it ended up, you know. Mm-hmm. So disappointing a little bit with how that turned out with that. Premonition, you know, we got, you know, the Gary Smith and Dennis Johnson, they left the band. And we got Mark Trubet and Stephen Ellis, and they stepped in, and it was a bit of a different feel, a little more, groove rock kind of. And I think the Premonition album, that was a very good record, I thought. I'm happy with that record.
Mm-hmm. I would definitely agree with that. And do you remember your reaction the first time Frankie and Jim brought Eye of the Tiger to the rest of the band?
Yeah, well,
did you think it was going to be Eye of the Tiger?
No, but I liked it. I mean, but mm-hmm. I heard it the first time I heard it was in the studio when we went to record it. We were doing the demo, and there was the time pressure because it was going to be in this film Rocky III, and we had to get that demo out right away ASAP to keep up with the production schedule. And so I just learned it in the studio. We all did. We just learned it. That they presented the song. Jim and Frank presented the song to us. We learned it and recorded it and sent it off. That's what actually ended up being used in
oh, really?
The movie. Yeah, that was in the movie, and then we went back out to L.A. and recorded that and the rest of the album, and that's what you hear on the radio.
And then following that, you guys had a pretty successful follow-up with Caught in the Game before you had your vocal cord issues. Did you hear any of the demos that would become Vital Signs? I mean, if not for your vocal issues, would you have continued along the band, or was it kind of coming to an end anyway?
It was kind of coming to an end anyway, and Caught in the Game, had sort of a limited success, and even though it was our fourth album, it felt like our sophomore.
Yeah.
There was no software then. Sophomore, effort, and it was, I was pretty exhausted from all that, and so I left the band, after that record. And I did not, but to answer your question, I did not hear any of that Vital Signs music, which, was great. I mean, I thought it was great.
Yeah, and in the decades since, you've been in and out of the band a few times. Why do you think that another record never came out with that classic lineup of you singing, even later on in your various stints in the band?
Well, again, it's funny because we did try. we had a bunch of stuff recorded. Some of it was really quite good, but there was a dispute going on then because when Jimmy Jameson left, when the band broke up in 1987 or 88 after Too Hot to Sleep album, which I really liked too, by the way, Jimmy just kind of went out and sort of was Survivor. Those guys went for just they just kind of let that go. And then they decided, I guess, that they didn't want to let that go, and so they asked me to come back. And so that's the trouble with that. Then there were two Survivors. So I mean, that kind of explains why nothing ever happened with me being back. It was kind of like it was a strange time in music too. And so it just people a lot of that stuff out on the internet, those tracks, Fire Makes Steel, and Someone Else's Sleepless Nights, and I don't know, other stuff too is out there, but never formally released. We did make that Greatest Hits album though, which we have two Hungry Years and You Know Who You Are, which were probably the only thing that was released that was from that time.
Yeah, because as you said, the demos are kind of floating around the internet, and Dick said the Fire Makes Steel stuff, just the demo version sounded great. Can only imagine what it would have been if you guys had the chance.
It's kind of a cool record, really.
Definitely. And, kind of along that line, Frank has been known to be sort of the litigious sort, and you've been on the receiving end of that. Everything set now? Are you done with all of those issues or still?
I can't say very much about that except that no.
Understood.
Yeah.
And, recently we lost Stephen Ellis.
During
the classic lineup. What are some of your memories of him? I mean, did you keep in touch with any of the guys over the years?
I've kept in touch. I used to keep in touch with Frankie, but I've kept in touch with Pete and Jim Peterick. I've done some shows with Jim Peterick and all over the years, and Mark Dubé, but I haven't talked to him in quite some time. And I hadn't talked to Stefan in a long time, but my memories of him, we saw him playing with another band, because we were looking for, we had Mark Dubé, you know, to make the Premonition album. He was on board, but we didn't have a bass player. And we're watching this band, and we're going, "We should get a in there, Stefan. He's really cool. You know, he's a really good bass player." and they go, "We should get a guy like that. In fact, why don't we ask that guy?" And we just walked up to him after he played and said, "Hey, we're going to make a record, and we need a bass player. You want to come down and audition?" He said, "Sure." And that was that. And he was a really – he was a funny guy. L.A. to the core, to the mm-hmm. core. You know, at that time it was kind of a cachet, an old – so he was sarcastic, but he'd always say, you know, bitching. You know, I mean, that, yeah. And it was, you know, it's kind of a joke because it was an antiquated surfer word. Mm-hmm. But, you know, yeah, he was something else. And a great musician, you know.
Just definitely. And, you know, some people may not realize it, but in between your stint in Survivor, you're also known as the voice of Budweiser with the Real Men of Genius campaign.
Yeah.
Do you still get people asking you to sing those?
I'll rip off that Real Men of Genius. I'll rip that off for people, you know, if they request it sometimes. but, you know, yeah, that was a crazy thing that came up, again, because of my connection with doing jingles in Chicago. And you know, the Scandal Music I got a call to come in, and Sandy Toronto, my friend Sandy Toronto, said they're looking for this Bud Light commercial, and they're looking for an 80s rock singer, and I mentioned you, and they said, "Oh, great, you know, yeah." So I came in and heard, you know, Pete Stacker, the voiceover guy, and I was laughing. Everyone was laughing because she was so funny. And we sort of made my character then of an answering singer guy. Just a really weird, you know, unusual construction for a commercial. And endless possibilities for mayhem, you know. So
exactly.
And they were very free and wheeling with that, too. It's like you come in and they'd have a script. And, you know, normally the script is, that's it. You follow that script in a commercial, period. They would just throw that out and try all kinds of stuff, you know, different lines. How about this? How about this? And that's how they were made, you know.
And it was sort of like a full circle, because isn't that sort of how you and Jim both got your start in Chicago?
Yeah, I think,
you know,
well,
in the early days.
Jim had Bad Eyes of March before commercials, and he had, you know, he had a big hit record with that vehicle,
yeah,
and stuff like that. So he was kind of a legend around Chicago. Mm-hmm. I, you know, I'd seen him playing and stuff, and go, "Wow, that's a big band there," you know. And then it come down the road a ways, there I am in Chicago doing a jingle sessions with him, you know, and Gary and Dennis too, the original drummer,
yeah,
and bass player. You know, they were done the sessions too. So that's how it came to be that, you know, so, you know, Jim Peter asked me, "Hey, I want to put a band together, and I wondered if you would be interested." And I was interested, you know. It's like, yeah, sure, you know. Really interested in that.
And now, what's coming next now that the record is out? You know, people can get it everywhere. It's on all the streaming services. It's out physical. I did see you have a cool colored vinyl copy,
yeah,
as well.
Yeah, that marble vinyl.
Straight off your red website.
That is cool. That marble vinyl.
And now, what's next? Will you be able to do a tour on the record? Or are you doing some one-offs, you know, summer festivals or fairs, things like that?
I am doing some festivals and fairs, yeah. And I did run through the UK and do some shows and perform a couple of the songs from Darklight there. These guys did a great job of playing them. And, you know, yes, some one-offs. And I'm trying to, you know, I hope the album builds, and I'll get to start. We're starting to work on getting some shows in the U.S.
And do you have a touring band put together yet, or is that something you'll get to?
I have a core of a band. Yes, I do, and including Stevie D. He's part of that core, and some other guys that we actually have had some rehearsals. So you know, yeah. If I had some shows to do, I could get that up and running real quick.
Great. Well, you know, Dave, again, I thank you so much for this. It really was cool to get to spend some time talking to you. The record's fantastic. Like I said, if anyone is looking for just that kind of throwback guitar rock record that sounds fully modern, this is the one. Great songs, great writing. Your voice is strong as ever. I wish you a lot of luck with the record. And, you know, when you do get some tour dates up and things like that, let me know. We'll definitely get them out there and encourage people to come check you out.
Well, thank you so much, my friend. I really appreciate that. And I definitely will get back to you on that. And I will let you know, I promise. That's great.
Yep, and I definitely hope to catch you at one of the shows in the Northeast here and say hello and hear these songs live.
Me too. I hope that we can do that soon.
Great. So thanks a lot, Dave. Again, the record is Dark Light. It's available everywhere, and we'll catch you on the road sometime. Thank you very much for your time.
Great. Thanks, Jeff.
Yep. Bye.
Bye.